Growing up, my family, it always seemed to the child who remembers these things, my family was always the first to arrive at church and the last to leave. And often along the way, we would stop and pick somebody up. We also, in my memory, there are many times, though it may not have been all that many, I don't know, a child's memory is somewhat selective. There are plenty of opportunities and times what my parents took for us to help and to visit with the widows in our congregation. I remember one in particular, going over there and sharing a meal with this woman. I don't remember her name for the life of me, but I do remember the feel of her house. It was a grandma house. You know that feel, don't you? Full of memories. I remember learning how to play a card game, though I don't know whether it was Rook or Pinochle or what. And I also remember excusing myself and exploring, because that's what children do. I remember picking up the phone, which was near the bathroom, and for the first time in my life discovering what a party line was. How many of you grew up with party lines? For those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, ask one of those persons whose hand was just raised. I have a feeling my parents did this because of the concern that is shared throughout the Bible, where it mentions over and over again the need to care for the orphans and the widows. This is a concern expressed everywhere, which indicates that God has a passion for the least and the last. Because orphans and widows in that day and age, and perhaps still in this day and age, were often the overlooked and the forgotten and the left behind. Those who just plain did not get what they need. Perhaps it is still true today. I don't know. It was definitely true in Jesus' day and for the early church. You know why the deacons came into existence to start with, there in the very beginning of the church? It was to care for who? Exactly. That was their purpose. The Bible has a passion for those who are left behind. God has a passion for those who are left behind. It's a matter of justice. Now, this morning we have heard, and I don't have too much time to talk about this, but we have heard stories of four, count them, four widows. We heard the story of that widow of where? Zarephath. I love the thing. That's a fun one to say. The widow of Zarephath. And how God called upon her to make a very radical step, which she did, perhaps because what else could she do? I mean, it was just a last meal, so what? Sometimes that's what faith is, isn't it? Sometimes faith is a desperate act. And yet she took that step. And she welcomed Elijah to her table, as meager as it was. And justice was done. God was faithful. We also heard the story of that widow and her proverbial mite. You know, those pennies which were in many ways louder than the clang, clang, clang of all the money that those who gave for show put in the offering. Well, that widow in that story, as Daniel says, not an object. An object, listen, to teach us about stewardship, though we do indeed learn from her. She's a person of her own right, even though the Bible does not give her a name, and we don't know the end of the story. But there was a table there as well. You know, there was another table in that same place that Jesus overturned. A table that emphasized the big and showy stuff over against the stuff that really matters. And it's from this widow that we are helped to see, to catch a glimpse of the stuff that really matters. It's a matter of justice. Now, the final story is perhaps one of my most favorite, and I don't have all that much time, so let's see if I can give a quick overview. You know the story of Ruth, many of you. Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. Naomi was a Hebrew woman who, along with her husband, moved away from their homeland into a foreign country. They were strangers and sojourners there. And their son, she gave birth to two sons, and those sons grew up, and they took wives of that. They weren't Hebrew wives. They were wives of that country. But then happened what sometimes happens. All the menfolk died. And Naomi was left with her bitterness, because in that day and age, when the menfolk died, that meant hope was gone. She told her daughters-in-law, who were standing beside her, that she was going to go home. She was too old to try to not find another husband, but her daughters-in-law were younger, and perhaps there was hope for them. All was bitterness for her. And she said, go, just. And one did. But Ruth stayed. Perhaps you know that verse. It rings through us of a kind of stubbornness on Ruth's part. It says, no, I'm not going to go. For where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God, and your people will be my people. Sometimes faith is stubbornness, is it not? And they returned back to where Naomi was from, a land where this God of the Hebrews, of Abraham and Isaac, where the words of Moses and others resounded, and God's passion for the least and the lost was supposedly the law of the land. And it was there they took up this thing called gleaning, something that maybe in economic times like this we need to revisit and kind of bring in a 20th century version. Gleaning being that you don't harvest everything that's in a field, that you leave stuff there for the poor and the forgotten to harvest and be fed. That's gleaning. But in one of the most dangerous chapters in the Bible, Naomi tells her daughter-in-law, Ruth, to go to Boaz, who is a relative of hers, of Naomi's, to go to Boaz, an older fellow, to go to Boaz at night as he is sleeping in the threshing room, and tells her to go and lie beside him and see what happens. So he said, sometimes faith is an act of desperation. In that dark chapter, there are things that could have gone desperately wrong. Sometimes faith is the thinnest thread possible. Ruth did as she was instructed, and Boaz did what he was supposed to have done, and justice was done. He did not take advantage of this younger woman, but in fact took the opportunity the next day to go and, as was the process back then, to talk with the elders at the city gates and make arrangements for Ruth to become his wife. And you heard the end of the story. Like the book of Job, it does have a happy ending. Justice was done. God's will happened. And we heard the end of the story. Did you catch that? That the child that Ruth bore, this grandson of Naomi, was who? Who was it? The father of who? Was Jesse, the father of King David. And in the New Testament, we remember Ruth in the lineage that led to who? Jesus. Justice was done. Now back to me growing up in that church. I'm not sure who got the most out of our visits with those widows. Whether she did in having kind of family there close by, family not of her own blood, but family by faith, or whether we got more of the benefit from it. That's a strange thing about being at table with one another. It's not so much what you give, it's also what you get in return. It's an amazing thing. Justice is done. And when I look back upon the things that led me to become the person that I am, for good or for ill, that was one of the seeds that was planted, along with many others. What are the seeds in your life? Are there seeds still being planted? We're at table together, and this is a table where God's will is done. Maybe not right now, but God is patient. God is persistent. In fact, sometimes downright stubborn. Just like certain widows I know.